It's a short week in the world of fantasy basketball as we head into Fantasy Week 16. We get the All-Star break, and this is your All-Star Fantasy Podcast. How do you like that for a transition? This is Fantasy Pick and Roll, one of your many basketball podcasts here at CBSSports.com. I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Joining me, as always, is the great, the wonderful, the talented, the well-dressed Sergio Gonzalez. If you have not seen our video from Monday, February 8th, go check it out because Sergio is one well-dressed dude.
Right.
Sitting next to the wonderful and talented and beautiful Lauren Chadi. Anyway, Fantasy Week 16, there are only 4 days worth of games because Friday the 12th, Saturday the 13th, and the game on Sunday the 14th is the All-Star break. It's when all the NBA basketball players, except for the ones playing the game, take a break. However, there are lots of guys that are going to miss this game or potentially could miss this game due to injuries. And as you know, what we typically do on Monday is we catch you up on all the injuries to help you set your lineup. So let's talk a little basketball, Sergio, and talk about some of these injured guys. It seems like the Lakers have the most interesting and most intriguing injuries to deal with because Kobe Bryant finally missed the game, did not play over the weekend dealing with this ankle problem, and he may not play in the two games that the Lakers have for this week, one on Monday, the other one being on Wednesday, the first one against San Antonio, the next one against the Utah Jazz. Typically, if guys do not play heading into the All-Star break, they usually miss the game. And I know you wrote in the latest update for Kobe Bryant that if he doesn't play and doesn't play in the All-Star game, that'd give him 10 days to rest. I know that's something fantasy owners would like to see is him be rested and healthy, but you also may not have him for the two games that you get him for in Week 16. How crucial is that, and what do you do with Kobe Bryant this week?
Yeah, he's in a very tricky spot for fantasy owners, but if you're going to think about it, do you really think he's going to miss the All-Star game? I can't see him missing the All-Star game, so I think he'll probably try to give it a go for one of the two games at least. The problem is there's no guarantee either way. Prior to missing that game this weekend, he hadn't missed a game in over 250 games, something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't see him missing too much more time with this injury. Coach Phil Jackson said he's thought about shutting him down at a few points leading up to this week, and he's gone against it each time. There's no indication right now that they're going to shut him down for the two games. It's just that he's going to be – you're not going to be sure when you activate him and lineups lock tonight at around 8 o'clock. I personally have him in a couple leagues, and I am starting him. So
yeah, I have him in an average-based league, so I'm going to keep him in there. I think cumulative leagues, you may have a decision to make, especially given the short week, because they're one of the many teams that have two games, but if you're dealing with a guy on your team that has one game, let's keep that in mind. Let's just bring people up to date. The Orlando Magic have three games in this scoring period, so their status quo, for the most part, you're going to start all of your regular Magic guys. The teams with two games, I'll run this down quickly, Atlanta, Charlotte, Chicago, Cleveland, Dallas, Denver, Detroit, Golden State, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Heat, Milwaukee, Minnesota, New Jersey, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Portland, Sacramento, San Antonio, and Utah, and then the teams that are left with one game, Boston, Houston,
Indianapolis Colts.
Indianapolis Colts. I still have football in the brain. Indiana, Memphis, the Knicks, Oklahoma City, Phoenix, Toronto, and Washington. Those teams all have one game. So the Lakers are one of the many teams. The majority of teams have two games. So Kobe Bryant, if he misses one game, plays another game, you're probably in similar boat as if you're playing with Paul Pierce or Luis Scola, Aaron Brooks, on and on, Zach Randolph, David Lee, some of these guys. So you're not in a horrible position if you're stuck with Kobe for only one game this scoring period. If Kobe is out,
yeah.
Shannon Brown, great option?
If Kobe is ruled out, the only way I would recommend starting him this week is if it comes out prior to lineups locking at 8 o'clock tonight that Kobe's ruled out through the All-Star break. Other than that, I wouldn't start him.
But he played well even though since Kobe's got this injury, he's played well because his minutes have gone up.
He's played well enough that he can be a stopgap measure option in deeper leagues. He's more of like a number four if you're looking to replace somebody due to an injury or something like that. I just don't think he's consistent enough to the point where you lock him in there in this type of abbreviated scoring period where one bad game really could do a lot of damage to your fantasy hopes this week.
Assuming Kobe Bryant is playing, do you take Shannon Brown with two games or Brandon Rush with one game?
I take Brandon Rush. That's a good one. I would take Shannon Brown.
Do you take Jason Richardson with one game or Shannon Brown with two games, assuming Kobe's playing?
Richardson is very prone to bad games right now, so I would take the games there. So I would take Shannon Brown.
Mike Conley with one game or Shannon Brown with two games?
Shannon Brown.
Here's another one. Randy Foy with one game or Shannon Brown with two games?
I hate Randy Foy's matchup. He's one of my sits, actually, in the start of the center. They're playing Charlotte, Charlotte gives up the third fewest points in the league, I think he's the chances are good that he's going to have a very bad game. So I would go Shannon Brown.
All right, so you're starting Shannon Brown over some people that playing at this
over point. Number four. Those are number three, number four type options.
Well, Jason Richardson's not.
Jason Richardson right now is a number four option.
Wilson Chandler or Shannon Brown?
One game to two.
Mm-hmm.
Wilson Chandler.
Danilo Gallinari or Shannon?
Danilo Gallinari.
Even though he's been struggling.
No, he's been.
He's been bad.
He's been all right.
No, he's been.
He's
bad.
Been all right. He's been okay.
I'm gonna go Shannon Brown there.
All right.
With Kobe Bryant. playing. The other injury for the Lakers is Andrew Bynum. He's dealing with some injury woes himself. This is a guy that you know the Lakers are going to be cautious with because of his history. What do you do with Andrew Bynum this week?
I think he is more likely to be sat through the All-Star break. He's actually doubtful for Monday night's game. We've seen in the past, like you mentioned, the Lakers be extremely cautious with Andrew Bynum. They're going to pretty much baby him through this week and take the 10 days that we mentioned with Kobe Bryant and give them to Andrew Bynum to make sure that he's healthy for a second-half run. I wouldn't start him in any weekly format. This obviously means that Lamar Odom could be in for a big week.
Yeah, I think Ron Artest also.
Ron Artest
Kobe,
also.
Because we saw the game that Kobe missed. Artest had, I think, his best scoring game maybe in the last 2 months, as well as Paul Gasol will step up, obviously, for the Lakers. So keep an eye on what happens with Kobe Bryant and as well as Andrew Bynum. And hopefully when we come back
Thursday
this week or in the All-Star break, we know what their status is. The Denver Nuggets have obviously been dealing with an injury situation now for the better part of middle of January until this point in February with Carmelo Anthony, his ankle. He's probably not going to play in the All-Star game, correct?
He's still saying that he wants to. No decisions made either way. This is now, I believe, the third straight Monday that fantasy owners have pretty much the exact same decision to make where it sounds like he could be back any day, but that's been the case for the last couple weeks, and he's pretty much on his own refused to put himself through any kind of a situation where he says until he gets his explosiveness back, that's actually the word that he used, and until he feels that he's 100%, he's not going to play. We just have no way of telling when he feels that that's going to be the case. So fantasy owners with the Nuggets playing two games this week, you're pretty much in the same boat you've been in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I think you got to sit him just to be cautious. And the Nuggets are not limited to just Carmelo's injury. We also know Chauncey Billups missed the game, which allowed Ty Lawson to step up and play well, as well as Nene is now dealing with some injuries himself. Tell me about those two guys.
Yeah, Chauncey Billups, he's actually day-to-day, and he seems like he's more likely to play this week. He's still going to be an injury risk because there is no guarantee that he's going to return for Tuesday's game. And because that is a Tuesday game, there's probably not going to be any word on that before lineups locking on Monday night. It's probably going to be a game-time decision for the game on Tuesday. So you're going to have to take a little bit of a risk. I think he's more likely to play than Carmelo is. Personally, I would start him. I think he's going to be fine. The case with Nene, he's questionable for Tuesday's game. He's dealing with an injury to a muscle in his foot that he said was keeping him really from being able to walk right the other day. That was over the weekend. He's listed as day-to-day, but this injury sounds like something that could very easily keep him out through the All-Star break. Again, the Nuggets don't play till Tuesday, so we're looking at Nene being a game-time decision for Tuesday's game. That, I think, is too risky in this scenario.
I would agree with that. Speaking of big man dealing with foot problems, Joakim Noah, now this plantar fasciitis, appears to have grown worse.
Yeah, this injury is now threatening to keep him out for a couple of weeks. They tried some kind of, I guess you can call it revolutionary new approach to try to help him heal quicker, where they take blood out of his shoulder and inject it into his foot. And the first time I've heard of anybody trying this. We've heard of a lot of players dealing with plantar fasciitis in the NBA over the last few years. First time I've heard anybody try this. And it turns out that the Chicago Tribune said this morning being Monday morning, that this injury could now keep him out a couple weeks. The All-Star break is for certain. He's definitely not going to return this week, but you're going to have to keep a close eye on where he's at through the All-Star break for week 17. It sounds like you might not be able to use him for week 17, and that would mean go out and pick up Brad Miller if he's out there. We've seen him play around 35 to 40 minutes the last few games and put up not Noah stats and not even the numbers that Brad Miller used to put up in Sacramento, but they're certainly useful for a number two center. He's been putting up around 13 points and 6, 7, 8 rebounds per game, and that could be useful. Not to interrupt you here, but I just got a breaking news tweet as we're doing this podcast. Kobe Bryant is a game-time decision, but he's not expected to play on Monday night against the Spurs. So there you have it. The MRI exam on Kobe's left ankle is going to be released later on Monday. So it sounds like Kobe is not going to play. It also is coming through as we speak that Andrew Bynum is also likely out. So you have that information there.
There you have it. Breaking news. Going back to Nene, Chris Anderson, is that an option?
Chris Anderson, no. Even in situations where he's going to get more minutes, he's not going to score for you. He's going to get probably around 8 to 9 rebounds per game. So in category-based leagues where you need just a little bit of a cheap boost in rebounds possibly, also in blocks, he can help you there. But I wouldn't qualify him as a – remember, he's eligible only at forward. He is going to get more minutes because Nene is out. But he'd be putting up numbers that might be useful as a number two center. But among forwards, I don't think he'd rank even at the level of a number four forward. So I would not go with Birdman.
You mentioned Charlotte and their defense. How much does their defense take a hit if Raymond Felton doesn't play in the two games that they have this week?
Yeah, Raymond Felton twisted his ankle in practice Monday. It doesn't sound like it's a big deal, but he did. I think he stepped on one of his teammates' feet and twisted an ankle. Right now, he's being considered day-to-day. He's probable for the team's game on Tuesday. Probably going to be a game-time decision. That does affect, obviously, a player like
DJ Augustin
who would get a chance to play, but unfortunately as of right now there's not enough of a guarantee, and it actually the possibility is more likely that he will play as opposed to not playing, so I wouldn't go with DJ Augustin at all there.
So you think Felton plays?
Yeah, I think Felton will be fine.
Another guard.
And I'm sorry, not to interrupt you. I didn't mean to do that, but I really, really like Charlotte's two matchups this week, so if you're starting these players based on matchups, go ahead and activate them.
Another guard dealing with an injury situation, which seems to be ruining his season, is Devin Harris. He's probably not going to play this week also, correct?
Yeah, Devin Harris is very likely to be ruled out through the All-Star break. Fantasy owners have been very disappointed in him. He's a player who we were actually just talking about in the Fantasy Fast Break video with Lauren Shahadi. He was drafted in he was drafted in really late first round, early second round in a lot of leagues, and he's putting up numbers really that – a low end number two or a solid number three guard. So he's been a very big disappointment in the first half of the season. He averaged 21 points per game last year. He's only averaging 15 points per game this year. And he's just not really fitting in well in the New Jersey scheme this year. There's a lot of trade talk that is surrounding him right now. And he's kind of in an uncertain place for the second half. We don't even know if he's going to be in New Jersey come 2 weeks from now. So you're going to have to pay close attention to where he's at in the coming weeks. And for week 16 in particular, I say you have to sit him because of the injury.
It's amazing when you don't have Vince Carter drawing double teams for you.
Exactly.
Another guy that's been dealing with injury woes what seems like all season, and another one who's probably going to miss the All-Star game, is Brandon Roy. Got to keep him reserved for week 16, but is there any hope on the horizon that he'll return?
Yeah, they're hoping that now this pretty much the extra week that he's going to get with missing these two games this week, and he's been ruled out of the All-Star game. I think he was replaced by Chris Kamen, who was one of the All-Star snubs. That actually happened today on Monday. So he's definitely not going to play the All-Star game. That makes it very unlikely he's going to play the two games that Portland plays this week. But chances are good that he could be back right after that. They're definitely taking all the right steps to make sure that he could be healthy for the second half.
The last time we had Allen Iverson dealing with a quote-unquote personal situation, it was really because he was being shut down by Memphis. They were trying to trade him, and then they eventually released him. He signed with Philadelphia. Now we have another situation with a personal matter. This is obviously something that's actual,
yeah,
as opposed to something that's not factual.
Right.
Allen Iverson going to return for week 16, and is he a safe start?
There's unfortunately no timetable. There's really no indication one way or the other. Sixers coach Eddie Jordan said on Sunday that there's exactly that there's no timetable for his return. He's tending to a sick daughter. Really, until she's healthy and he feels comfortable leaving her at home, he's not going to come back. And obviously, he's got concerns right now that have nothing to do with basketball, and
sure,
you have to respect that. So keep him reserved for now, and there's really no reason that you want to plug him in there because there's no indication either way.
Does this help Drew Holiday or Lou Williams more?
I think it helps Willie Green, Drew Holiday, and Lou Williams all in some shape or fashion. Lou Williams isn't going to go back to the numbers he was putting up earlier in the season when before Allen Iverson, before the jaw injury. The way they're using him right now, even in these few games that Allen Iverson has missed, is a lot different than the way they were using him earlier in the season. They kind of want to keep him in that same six-man combo guard backup role that he's been in with Allen Iverson. They don't want to change up the rotation too much without Allen Iverson there. So it doesn't seem like all of a sudden, okay, Allen Iverson's gone. Now Lou Williams becomes a superstar again. No, it's not working that way. But in some way, shape, or form, Lou Williams is going to get a little bit of a boost. Willie Green, we've seen, get a boost. And also Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday, actually, out of the three players, I would say, has gotten less of a boost than those other two.
The San Antonio Spurs get Tony Parker back. We've seen George Hill go through a little bit of a rebirth when Parker was out. Parker comes back, but Hill still has a decent outing. What's going to happen? Tell me about these four guys. I'll say five guys, but I'll put them in order, at least in terms of what I think is their fantasy value. Tony Parker, one. Manu Ginobili, two. George Hill, three. Roger Mason, four. And Michael Finley, five. All five guys are healthy now for the first time, I believe, all season.
Yeah, and what we're seeing with George Hill is even just prior to Tony Parker going down with his injury, he was playing at a very high level. Mm-hmm. When Parker went down, he was playing at an extremely high level to where he was putting up 20 points and 9 assists one night, 17 points and 6 assists the next night. That's not going to be able to continue on a consistent basis now that Tony Parker's back, but what he can still do is more along the lines of what he was doing just prior to Parker getting hurt, which is consistent double-digit scoring, probably somewhere in the low to mid-teens, some decent three-point shooting, some steals, somewhere where he can be helpful to you as a number three and number four guard option. With the other guys, I think we'll see a little bit more inconsistency like we've seen all season when all these guys have been healthy. One night it'll be one guy, the next night it'll be the next guy. Richard Jefferson, Manu Ginobili, all those guys have been very inconsistent in terms of their production this season because of really the addition of an extra mouth to feed in Jefferson, the emergence of players like George Hill, and really there's more contributors than ever in the San Antonio system.
Very deep team.
And that team is too deep for anybody to really step out of the box other than Tim Duncan. Tony Parker, we've even seen his numbers go down.
Come on, it's Tony Parker's team.
I was high on Tony Parker coming into this season. Jamie's making fun of me because I thought this was going to start turning into Tony Parker's team, and that hasn't been the case. Really the only player that's been able to step up beyond the constraints of having so many players on that team is Tim Duncan. Other than that, we've seen a lot of inconsistent production.
Trevor Ariza, unfortunately, I'm going to be at this game, and I was expecting to talk to him. The Houston Rockets have one game. They travel to Miami on Tuesday. Trevor Ariza not expected to play.
Yeah, he's not expected to play because he suffered a hip pointer in Saturday's game. I think it was against the Sixers. That's going to probably keep him out through the All-Star break. So fantasy owners in weekly formats are probably going to want to sit him. The team's also dealing with a few minor injuries to their rotation. So we could be looking at a really tight rotation against the Miami Heat, and that's Houston's only game in Week 16. So you could be looking at heavy minutes for players like Luis Scola, the players who are healthy that you've been relying on anyway. Maybe a boost for a player like Shane Battier,
who you hate,
who I don't like that much. I don't hate.
You hate Shane Battier. I'm gonna tell him when I see him too. The Celtics get Paul Pierce back. Does not help them in their game Sunday against the Orlando Magic, but is he a safe start for their one game? And when is this team going to start to click?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Doc Rivers is asking the exact same question. after that game, Super Sunday against the Orlando Magic, he actually went out and said, I guess to inspire his team, that he thought the Atlanta Hawks are better than them. He thought, obviously,
Orlando. Doc Rivers said that.
Coach Doc Rivers. He actually said the Magic are obviously better than them. The Hawks are probably better than them. The Lakers are definitely better than them. So he's kind of trying to put them in their place to see if he can fire them up. The Celtics are another team, though, that we're getting close to the trade deadline, and there's a lot of talk that Ray Allen could be on his way out. There could be a team in flux. They could be bringing in a new piece that could shake things up a little bit and could affect players like Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett going down the line. But right now, that's just a team that I think we're seeing something along the lines of what we're seeing in San Antonio, where the emergence of players like Rajon Rondo Kendrick Perkins, and where it's no longer just the big three like it used to be in Boston, and that year they won the title, the last couple years, has really caused a watering down of their statistical production to the point where you can't expect high-end numbers out of anybody other than Rajon Rondo and Paul Pierce when he's healthy. Kevin Garnett can still give you good numbers, but he's not going to give you number one forward numbers anymore. And I think that's something that you're going to have to get used to that fact and expect that going forward. And now you have to be afraid of the fact that they could be bringing in another big-time player, depending on what they get for Ray Allen. So keep that in mind going forward.
I don't think they're going to do anything drastic because they got a piece back from injury that they like very much, which is why they brought him in to Marquise Daniels. So I think that, you know, the talk of them trying to bring in another point guard or at least somebody that can handle the ball, they have that now, and Daniels coming back. So I don't know if they're going to necessarily have to make some sort of move to unload Ray Allen. And the key being is if you get rid of Ray Allen, you have to bring back shooting.
Yeah,
and
outside
there shooting. Aren't a lot of guys that can do what Ray Allen does, even at this level of his career. And I know he's been going through a prolonged slump. Go back to the playoffs 2 years ago when they won the championship. He was terrible through the course of the playoffs and got hot in the finals. He's going to go through streaks like this. I think you'll see him start to pick things up again. The All-Star break will come at a good time for him. And I do think, again, I said this on a previous podcast, I think Kevin Garnett's going to be in for a big second half just based on the fact that they need him now. So
now, with that said, if Ray Allen does get moved, if he gets moved to the right location, that could actually be a very good thing for his fantasy value. Because right
yeah,
now...
Yeah, see, I don't know because, again... He's not going to be the scorer he was before he came to Boston.
Well,
could he?
I'm not convinced that he couldn't be. I just think that the way he's being used in Boston right now, it's limiting him. It's limiting his potential output. Plug him into a situation where he gets 15 to 20 shots per game again. I don't know where that situation might be.
But if you look at his shot attempts, he's been around 15 per game.
No, he's been more around 10 to 13.
No, go
10
look
to 13.
Look at his games.
Uh-huh.
And it's obviously going to be a little bit magnified because of the games that Pierce missed. But
right.
He also had he's had two stretches now, one without Garnett, one without Pierce, where he's been asked to be a scorer, and he hasn't really come through in that regard. So, yes, if he goes to a Western Conference team, if that deal ever did happen for Monta Ellis for him, would his fantasy value go up? Absolutely, because he'd have to shoot the ball 50 times a game. Forget about
right.
15 to 20. But if he goes to a team, let's say New Jersey decides to move Devin Harris. For Ray Allen, he's still in the same division. He's in the same conference.
But he's going to be taking a lot more shots.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to be all of a sudden his production is going to go up. I think he's still shooting the ball quite a bit. What's the shot attempts per game?
Last five games, 10 shots, 13 shots, 15 shots, 17 shots, 13 shots. So it's 10 to 13.
It's around 13.
Those two games were the Paul Pierce games.
Okay, so it's around 13.
So it's about 10 to 13 shots per game. Put him in New Jersey, he's taking 15 to 20. Put him in Golden State,
yeah.
He's taking 20 to 25.
Here's why I don't think New Jersey's going to make a move, though, unless they're going to get
no,
worse.
No, I agree with you.
New Jersey wants to get John Wall.
Yes, absolutely.
And here's the thing what New Jersey can do, because New Jersey's in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
If New Jersey loses enough that they guarantee themselves, now obviously it's the NBA, but if they guarantee themselves John Wall, if you're a superstar, the class of 2010,
you might think about
you're now going to a team potentially that has a top 10 center. I'm not ready to say he's a top 5. He's a top 5 fantasy center. I'm not ready to say he's a top
okay.
5.
He's not there defensively.
Center in
right.
the NBA.
He's not there defensively.
He's too raw still, but he's a top 10 center because of lack of centers in the NBA, but he's a top 10 center in the NBA. He's certainly probably you can consider him a top 5 guy in the Eastern Conference.
Sure.
But you're going to a team now that has potentially John Wall, Brook Lopez, and money to spend up the wazoo.
Mm-hmm.
So you can bring in Dwayne Wade.
Mm-hmm.
You could bring in LeBron James. You could bring in Amari Stoudemire. You could bring in Chris Bosh. You may be able to get two of those guys, depending on if one is willing to sacrifice money, or one of those guys and another piece. And you have a very solid team here.
Oh, absolutely. But your argument
and
is...
And Devin Harris, too.
Well, but if John Wall... I think John Wall is going to be a point guard.
Oh, he's definitely a point guard.
So Devin Harris,
Devin Harris could play the two.
They would move him to the two... He's kind of.
He could also come off the bench. And they could also trade him in the offseason.
Sure, that's why I think it's possible that they could be clearing him out. In
yes, a Devin Harris for a Ray Allen move makes sense from the standpoint of Ray Allen has an expiring contract,
right.
So that would be an interesting trade. The New York Knicks decide to start Nate Robinson and now decide to bench Nate Robinson. Why are they moving this guy up and down and back and forth? And I know from a team standpoint, Nate Robinson is not a starting point guard. From a fantasy standpoint, you look at the stats he's put up the last couple of games as a starter. He makes Chris Duhon look bad. He makes fantasy owners look good. Why would they shuffle this around, and why isn't Nate Robinson starting anymore?
Well, what Coach D'Antoni saw in these two games, both losses for the Knicks, was that Yes, Nate Robinson can be a solid scorer. He scored 26 points with 6 assists and 4 rebounds against the Cleveland Cavaliers. He had 13, 7, and 4 the game before that against Milwaukee. But, like I said, the Knicks lost both games, and he now sees Nate Robinson as a purely just a two-guard. He doesn't see him as a point guard anymore, and he's going to move forward with Larry Hughes playing the backup point guard role and Chris Duhon kind of being his eyes and ears on the floor and being that extra coach where that's not going to lead to much statistical production. We've seen that in the last month or so, even prior to this move, where he was out there. He was playing good minutes.
For Duhon.
Duhon. Yep. He was out there. He was starting, and it wasn't translating into much stats. And the New York Post was reporting that these two, Coach D'Antoni and Duhon, had a sit-down meeting, I believe, on Saturday, and they discussed what the team needs to do to kind of start to get going in the right direction. And for some reason, they came out of that meeting, and he thinks that Duhon on the floor being his coach and really his floor general makes the team better than Nate Robinson going out there and scoring 25 points at point guard but being a revolving door and letting everybody score on him and the Knicks not being able to stop anybody. So going forward, what we're going to see is Nate Robinson go back to somewhat that role that he played late last season where he was just strictly a two-guard coming off the bench where he's going to be focused on one thing and one thing alone, and that's providing scoring off the bench. That could be a good thing for his fantasy value, even though he is going to come off the bench. It's obviously he's not going to he's going to see his assists go down where these last few games he was actually putting up decent assist totals. He had 8, 7, and 6 in his last 3 games. Those numbers are going to go down. He's not going to be handling the ball as much. He's going to be off the ball a lot more going forward. But some of these games that he's had recently, the 23-point game against Washington, the 26-point game against Cleveland, that could still be there for him, depending on how many minutes he gets off the bench. So pay close attention to where he's at this week in terms of his minutes, his shot attempts. Obviously, don't get too alarmed if his assists go down, but pay attention to see where he's at scoring-wise, because I actually think he could be a second-half fantasy hero in a sense that he's been written off in a lot of leagues. But if he gets back into that mix with the Mike D'Antoni offense that's starting to get going again, and he gets in there where he's getting 15 to 17 shots per game like we've seen the last couple games, I think he can be a very helpful pickup for fantasy owners.
The one thing I'm curious to see is if D'Antoni was not just giving him some run heading into the All-Star break
for
to
trade?
Allow to allow him to at least look like he's playing for the dunk contest.
Just yeah, to, I don't just, think D'Antoni.
I don't
do
think
that.
He's like that, but yeah. I think just you know from a league standpoint,
sure.
You know we're not just running this guy out just to be a sideshow. Yeah. And it would be interesting to see because two guys that could be interesting. You mentioned Nate Robinson, now Shannon Brown, two guys heading into the dunk contest. Mm-hmm. Shannon Brown with two games now that Kobe's not going to play, or Nate Robinson for one.
Nate Robinson. I seriously think that he's going to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 15.
Even if Shannon Brown plays those two games, starts those two games, we know he's probably going to play one. Start
yeah.
One.
So you're just saying two versus one.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'd still go Nate Robinson.
All right, I'm gonna take Shannon Brown. You're gonna take Nate Robinson. That'll be our little wager.
And Kobe's not out yet. He's not out yet for Monday's game. He's just
it's
a game time decision.
It's obviously pending Kobe missing the game.
Correct.
This isn't. We've already technically passed the halfway point in the NBA season, but the All Star break
unofficial is unofficial halfway point.
The All Star break is a resting point. It's like 2.5.
Right.
Give me some guys that have been a surprise in the first half of the season and some guys that have been a disappointment. We'll start with the surprise. Give me three guys who have been a surprise in the first half of the
well,
season.
One player in Memphis in particular is Zach Randolph, who we talked about also in the Fantasy Fast Break video with Lauren Shahadi. You can check that out. He was drafted around the fourth or fifth round in a lot of fantasy leagues this year. Not so much because fantasy owners were afraid of the statistical output that he could put out there, but he's had attitude problems in the past. He's had injury problems. He's going to a Memphis team that...
horrible.
They were horrible, and but they did have a lot of scorers on the team. They can't play defense, but he was coming into a team that did have Rudy Gay. At the time, had Allen Iverson. At the time, O.J. Mayo. And had a lot of scoring options, so it looked like he could be in for a decrease in touches and obviously offensive numbers. But right now he's the 14th.
Don't forget that they have a big man in Marcus Hall and they drafted.
That's
Hashim
the other one I was forgetting. Yep, those are two other options. he's 14th overall in head-to-head scoring. He's second among fantasy centers behind only David Lee.
In leagues where he's center eligible.
In leagues where he's center eligible. And obviously right now, if you were redrafting, he would probably be drafted in the first round of most fantasy leagues. And that's something that fantasy owners were not expecting out of him. Can he keep it up in the second half? I don't see why not. I think he's found a comfort zone in Memphis.
The only thing you got to worry about is injury with him.
The injuries is still an issue with him. But so far, so good. And he's been one of the biggest surprises. Luol Deng is another player in Chicago who fantasy owners have kind of written off because of the injury-riddled season that he had last year. He was drafted 102nd overall, his average draft position. And right now he's got numbers equal to Rudy Gay, who was drafted in the third round in most leagues. So he's obviously been a huge surprise for fantasy owners and somebody that I think is going to be able to keep this going forward. David Lee, he's a player who was expected to be good, but not this good. Right now, he's the highest rated center in fantasy, in head-to-head fantasy leagues. So he's a player who has outperformed what fantasy owners were expecting from him. They were expecting him to be good, but right now he's great.
Corey Maggette is not on this list?
Corey Maggette is another player. Yeah, there's
because I expected this from David Lee. I didn't expect this from Corey Maggette.
Yeah, well, Corey Maggette, at one point last month, was putting up LeBron James types.
Yeah, but even for the entire first half, he's been amazing.
Right, no, he's been out completely outstanding. But the numbers that he put up the last month have been out of this world. And fantasy owners, he's another one of those players. He was actually drafted in the 9th and 10th round of a lot of leagues based on his average draft position. And right now, you could qualify him as a number one forward in any format. So he's one of the better values in all of fantasy hoops this league this year. Chris Kamen is another player who fantasy owners are getting extreme value out of. He's putting up numbers worthy of being, I believe, a top four fantasy center in head-to-head leagues. And he was drafted.
He's benefited with Blake Griffin.
Right.
I mean, that was
the absence of Blake Griffin is huge there. But fantasy owners were also concerned with Marcus Camby being there.
No, I think it was the combination of all three guys. I don't think it was just Camby. I think
eventually it was going to be all three guys.
It was injury and Blake Griffin when it comes to Chris Kamen.
Sure.
Three guys who have been a disappointment.
Disappointment, I would have to say that Devin Harris is one of those players. We talked about him extensively earlier in the podcast. Gilbert Arenas, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, but you can't call him a disappointment.
Yeah, I think you can because...
You knew this was going to happen?
You knew... With Gilbert Arenas...
No, you can't call Gilbert Arenas. That's a cop-out.
No. You know,
that is no pun intended. That's a cop-out.
That's a good play on words. But you just know, with Gilbert Arenas, you knew something crazy could happen any day. You did.
No.
He's Yeah,
I think you're playing the results at this point.
Well, if you're a fantasy owner and you drafted him, would you not qualify him as a letdown?
No, I'd qualify this as a freak situation.
All right. He was drafted very high.
When's the last time an NBA player that you know of brought a gun into a locker room, then mocked the commissioner for saying that he's doing something wrong and got suspended for the rest of the year?
Never.
This is like saying you knew the brawl was going to happen in Detroit.
No. But what I'm saying is he had the potential to be a number one high-end. He was drafted in the third round in most leagues. And a lot of stock was put into him, even coming off that big injury and the fact that...
Bad example, Serge.
All right. But I think he was...
Like Gilbert, you're setting a bad example.
Jose Calderon, he's a player who's been a huge disappointment. He was drafted in the second, third round in most leagues. Right now, he's starting in only 34% of CBSSports.com leagues.
You can take that to another guy on his team, too, in Hedo Turkoglu.
Yeah, Hedo Turkoglu, he was one of our busts going into the season, thankfully. Well, I guess you could say thankfully because we want to be right, obviously. So we called that he was going to be a bust, and he has been. Mm-hmm. Toronto right now is a team that outside of Chris Bosh and Bargnani, they don't have really high-end fantasy options.
No, but they're playing well.
No, absolutely. No, they're still scoring points. It's just they don't have consistent play outside of those two players.
Yes. Who else?
Outside of those two, I think that's all I have right here. So keep talking.
Those are the only three guys you have?
Yeah, that I listed right now.
Mike Bibby, I would say, would qualify as a huge disappointment. Sure. Not that he was drafted very high, but he certainly has played very, very poorly. Sean Marion's another guy I think a lot of people were hoping going to Dallas would do
He's
well.
He's turning it around.
Yeah.
He's turning it around.
I
but if you wanted to say Sean Marion, Josh Howard.
while he was coming into the season injured. You know, a guy that should be on your surprise for first half is Kenyon Martin.
Oh, absolutely.
Certainly a guy that's well outplayed his draft class and is playing at a very, very high level. Ben Gordon has been a huge disappointment going to Detroit, expecting to have a bigger role.
But that's an injury thing. Because actually, if you look at his numbers when he was healthy, not in those games that he was playing hurt. The games where he was healthy, he was still putting up around 20 points.
I think Devin Harris would have to fall into that, though, as well, because you don't know if he's playing through injuries, just trying to be on the court. Some other guys that have been a disappointment, I think you would have to say Eric Gordon. Injuries have really played a role there.
More players.
You know, some guys that have turned around lately, it's hard to know if they're going to carry it through. Carlos Delfino has been a huge benefit for the last month.
Sure.
Will that carry over? Ramon Sessions has been a huge disappointment.
I actually had that one listed. I forgot to mention that one.
He's been.
I was wrong on that one.
And Kevin Love has been actually a lot better than I think a lot of people were expecting.
Yeah.
He's been. You know, I think people expect him to be good. He's been
a double double per night. 13 points and around 12 rebounds. Something like Joaquin Noah has been out of this world.
Absolutely. That's another great example. The collective trio of New Jersey guys that have been absolute garbage. In their production, Chris Douglas Roberts, yes. Terrence Williams, Courtney Lee. I think you were expecting at least one of those guys to step up, and none of them have.
They've, put it this way, they've stepped up in spurts, and they haven't been consistent enough to where fantasy owners have been able to get anything out of them.
Here's been a very huge first half surprise, Brandon Jennings.
Yes.
I think when you talk about rookies, you know, he wasn't on the radar in terms of guys that were going to be elite rookie options.
Right.
Right away, and he certainly has been that, if not more, in the mix with Tyreek Evans, who's another guy that's been great for Rookie of the Year, but I think Tyreek Evans is probably going to win. Andre Kirilenko, another guy that's outperformed his draft class, had a very solid first half. Guy who's been a disappointment is Kevin Garnett, but that's injury as well, playing poorly. Guy who you like coming into the year, playing very high, that took advantage of his opportunity, Trevor Ariza.
Yep.
Another one of his teammates is also playing well, is Carl Landry. Someone who I don't think a lot of people were counting on. You mentioned Zach Randolph from Memphis. I don't think there's anybody else on that team, even though they really played.
No, that team's pretty. They have their four. They have a big four on that team, and then Mike Conley at times chips in.
Danilo Gallinari is a guy that's really stepped up in the first half and played well. And you could also say Wilson Chandler's maybe a little bit of a disappointment because the way he finished last year.
Yeah, but he's had his moments this year. He's had his moments,
but not exactly living up to a very high level. Phoenix Jason Richardson's been a disappointment, while Channing Frye has probably been better than expected. We talked about Toronto and then Washington just based on the ability to get the playing time now because of your cop-out. Randy Foy is getting a little bit of a resurgence. So there's some first half surprises, first half disappointments. We'll get to your emails on Thursday as we wrap up week 16. It'll be the first time we can wrap up a week when we talk about our podcast, and we'll preview a little bit of the All-Star festivities, good word there, and catch you up a little bit heading into Fantasy Week 17, and then we'll come back to you again on Monday, February 15th. So check us out for our second podcast of this week on February 11th. Again, you can send us your emails, dmfantasyhoops@cbs.com. That's dmfantasyhoops@cbs.com. We will also answer emails from Twitter. You can send us them. You can send us those emails too. @CBS Gonzalez, that's GONZALEZ, @CBS Gonzalez, and @Jamie Eisenberg, JAMEYEISENEERG, and again, the email address, @DMFantasyHoops. Again, check out everything, as well as Sergio's wonderful new suit, fantasynews.cbsports.com. You can read his waiver wire, his planner, his stardom and sit-em, and his fantasy fast break, which we sort of alluded to today. You also get the best fantasy updates as well as your injury information, which we know is the most important thing when setting your lineups, and also your leagues at cbssports.com. So fantasynews.cbsports.com and cbssports.com. For Adam Azer and Sergio Gonzalez, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.